know that all of us have been through things, but I can tell you that the God I serve is a God that is faithful. He is loving, and we can trust Him. He is working for good. And I tell people all the time, if it's not good, He's not done. Like, just hold on, because you can trust Him.
Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. I'm born of His Spirit, and I'm washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. If you know it, sing it out.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
He will never fail.
He will never fail.
Sing,
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
Oh, all is at rest, and I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
He will never fail.
Oh, I trust in God,
my Savior.
The Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. Oh, I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered.
Oh, I sought the Lord.
That's why I trust Him.
That's why I
trust the Lord. And He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why.
One more time, sing. I sought the Lord.
Cause I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
Hello, hope, it's a new horizon.
Oh, hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope. It's a new horizon.
If you're ready for a breakthrough, just open up and just receive. Oh, 'cause what is pouring out is nothing like you've ever seen.
My future, oh fear is not 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 my future. Sickness is not,
sickness is not my soul.
Declare it.
Sickness is not my story.
We believe it.
Sickness is not my story. Sickness is not my story.
Heartbreak.
This heartbreak's not my home.
It's not my home.
Heartbreak's not my home.
Heartbreak's not my home.
Heartbreak's not my home. No heartbreak's not my home.
Now sing it if you believe it. Death is not the end.
Death is not the end. No death. Death is not the end. Oh, death is not the end.
future. You are. The sickness is not my story. You are. And heartbreak's not my home. You are. And death is not the end. You are.
So goodbye, fear. Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, shame. Cause goodbye, pain. Goodbye, grave. It's a new horizon. So goodbye, fear. Goodbye, guilt. Goodbye, shame. Goodbye, pain. Goodbye, grave. It's a new horizon. 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 It's a new horizon.
Come on, somebody all across this place, let's lift our hands up to the Lord. We love you, Jesus.
It's a new horizon.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's a new horizon.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus.
It's a new horizon.
Yes, Jesus.
It's a new horizon.
I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
It's a new horizon.
I bless your holy name, Jesus. I bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. With every hand raised, would you lift your hands right now and begin to thank the Lord for his power and his presence that you feel in this very room. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our minds and our hearts, oh God. Hallelujah. Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell him you're happy to see him in the house of the Lord today. If you're not happy, at least act like it. We're glad you're here today. So thankful you're here today, worshiping the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. My, 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 my. You could be in other places. You could be maybe even kicked back at your home, but we're glad you took a moment to come here and get into the house of God and get into the presence of God with like-minded people who have the idea and the thought pattern, but the heart to pursue after God. And the Bible says it, that the Lord is looking for worshipers. How many worshipers do we have here? And if he's on the prowl, he's looking at you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. I know that it's getting close to pot roast and roasted chicken or what have you, but if you could just take a few more minutes, maybe even wait on those ramen noodles. I know. We know what not to do then on Sundays. Tease you with ramen noodles. 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15 to 22, the Bible reads, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants were with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint." One translation states that David became exhausted. That's a terrible time that in the middle of a fight, your mind says one thing, but your body says another. The Bible says, "And Ishbi-Nob, which was one of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought he had slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out of with this battle, thou shalt, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibekai the Hushonite slew Saph, which was of the son of the giant. And then there was again another battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jagarim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like of a weaver's beam. And then there was yet another battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature they had, that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he was also born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Would you just say this? I am a generation of giant slayers. It appears by way of our text that King David, the shepherd boy turned warring and conquering king, was looking more at the twilight hours of his glorious reign. Make no mistake, David was a man for his time. He rises from the pages of Holy Writ, a hero from the backside of the wilderness, who simply is bringing lunch to his brothers. He's anointed by God and by the prophet Samuel. He's got fresh anointing oil running over him. And not just a little bit. Go ahead and read for yourself in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Samuel the prophet grabbed a vial of oil and poured it over his successor or his predecessor Saul's head. That's just a little bit of anointing and authority. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we find Samuel getting a horn of oil and anointing the head of David. You see, there's a huge difference between a vial, which is a small flask, and a horn, which is maybe like an elephant's tooth or an elephant's tusk worth of anointing oil. You see, that anointing oil seemed to have changed the trajectory of David's life. Once that oil hit his head, he no longer thought the same. He no longer looked at things the same way. He no longer heard things the same. He no longer talked the same. I think that's what's even lacking today. We need a touch from the anointed one called Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And when you and I get in his presence, we'll walk different, we'll talk different, we'll act different, we'll look. Oh, we need the presence of God to overcome our lives. Would you clap your hands and shout yes? So we cannot misunderstand the scriptures that David, so long as he operated under God's authority, he was used greatly. But time, oh time, has a way of not slowing down. Even you and I know that to be true. Someone say amen. Scripture states it's going to happen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 3 and 4 reads, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low. You want to know what that means? Your grinders are your teeth. And over time, they can become few. Why don't you smile at somebody with your grinders and say, you look pretty good though today. The windows that become dim, that's your eyesight. And the sound becoming low, guess what? That's your ears. So you got grinders, You got windows, and you got sound becoming low. That's all signs of you're getting older. How many can't hear the same way? How many needs to hold the paper away or whatever a little further from your face? Your arms are getting shorter, not the fact that you need to put your glasses on. My grandfather said it best, getting old ain't for sissies. Someone say amen. Again, David is now cruising towards the twilight hours of a reign marked with many victories and personal defeats, but ultimately God covered him. He's now older, weaker, and slower. His response time just isn't what it used to be. He can't just pop up as fast as he once did. He can't recover. His recovery time is certainly measured by many moans and groans. Slow and steady seems to get the job done now. Can anybody that know what I'm talking about say amen? I mean, you don't just pop up as fast as you used to. You get up, but it's a little slower. Brother Mikey and I and Brother Carlos were laughing. And Brother John, where are you at Seawater? How much weight have you lost? Have you lost any more weight? He's been bragging about losing 15 pounds. You see what he just did? He's bragging about it. No, he wasn't. But at that point, a few weeks ago, he had only lost 7 pounds. And he said, we started talking about losing weight and how you feel better. And I don't know how we deviated from that conversation, but we got to the point that whenever you bend over, he said, when I tie my shoes, I can do it in one breath. Some of you don't know. If you want to know if you can't tie your shoes in one breath, look at your shoestrings. And if they're kind of on the inside, it's because you got to prop your leg up and tie it. If you want to know you can't tie your shoes in one breath, look down and see if they're slip-ons or they're Velcro. Come on, somebody. Growing old ain't for sissies. Would you look at somebody and say, you ain't no sissy. He's now older, he's now weaker. His response time isn't just what it used to be. But time has taught David that wisdom is found in the voice of counselors. He's finding out that those peers he's surrounded with are becoming younger with different battles to be fought, but fight nonetheless. Their respect for David is shown throughout Scripture, and people loved him more for the memory of the past rather than the strength for the moment. And it is found in the last few words of our text of reading today. 4 more giants fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Again, David burst on the scenes in the valley of Elah, facing a 9-foot mammoth of a man who was the champion of the Philistines, better known as Goliath of Gath, whose weaponry alone was meant to be carried into battle by any other person but him. And that was quite a feat. The Bible reads in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and the target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. That's Goliath of Gath. He had a helmet of brass, a coat of mail, weighing in at 5,000 shekels of brass, greaves of brass upon his legs, a breastplate made of brass. Staff of his spear was like that of the size of a weaver's beam. Spearhead weighing 600 shekels of iron, and he had someone else to carry his shield. You see, the protective coat that Goliath had wore in battle, those 5,000 shekels, that 600 shekels, that 5,000, they were at least 78 pounds. Many commentaries place the weight of that coat, that breastplate type of armory, at an amazing 156 pounds. Can you imagine walking around with an additional 156 pounds on you, ready to fight? The length of his spear may have been as long as 26 feet. With the head alone on the spear that weighed at least 17 pounds, he was a formidable opponent indeed. And you know the drill. The giant was pitted against anyone who dared to stand before him. And in my mind, I would think that you'd want to find someone at the very least similar in size, strength, and fight. I mean, there's weight classes today for a reason. There's boxing classes. There's weight limits and weight that you have to meet even for UFC fighting and wrestling in school. But that's there for a reason. According to Scripture, that the next tallest person that could face a giant was none other than the people who cried, "Give us a king," and it was Saul. Saul, the Bible states, was head and shoulders above all. So he was the next formidable foe of a giant. But for 40 days, morning and evening, this giant of a man, covered in shining brass, a larger than life shadow, projected words of insult, not just at the people, the army of Saul, but also ridiculed the God of the heavens. And he shouted, "Give me a man." Oh, the minds of his victims were certainly being toyed with. They shook. The Bible says that their knees even shook. Can I say that the tactic of the attacking the mind is no new thing? The enemy of our soul, he uses memories against you. The enemy of our soul uses our thoughts against us. The enemy of our soul uses our mind against us. He just has to plant one word, the seed of doubt and question, and leave that up to humanity to go ahead and do what humanity does. It's those thoughts of "you're not worthy." You of all people don't deserve to be here. Who do you think you are? Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Would you shout amen? Have you ever felt like, "No, I'm not worthy, yet I'm still thankful. I may not belong here, but I'm thankful for God's love, his presence, and his power." Somebody shout yes. But David, now, he said, "You come to me with shield and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." And this is exactly how you and I need to fight these battles, because with God on your side, there's a promised victory. When God is for you, nothing, no thing can rise up against you. You see, when God fights for us, when God fights for us, when you and I put on the whole armor of God, which Ephesians 6 says, it says, put on the whole armor of God. It is not your armor, it's God's armor. And the reason for, there's a reason for that, because whenever you get into a fight with the enemy of your soul, whenever your mind is playing tricks on you, that thing is not fighting you. When it looks at you, the only thing it sees is God. You need to put on the whole armor of God every single day. That whatever memory thinks it's going to attack you, not today, devil. You're fighting God. It's as if you're in a fight with God. Clap your hands and shout yes. But David, now he's a little older. One person writes that one Goliath is an accomplishment of a lifetime. And oh, how true that is. Has anybody ever, I know we're in church. We probably ought not to say this. How many's ever been bullied before? Huh? Now, how many has ever handled the bully? Yeah. I'm not going to ask you how you did it. But they may have walked away with a little fluid on their face and a little yellow and purple mark around their eye. I don't know. But it seems that in our text, a particular giant decided to start bragging that he would be the one who would eliminate the giant slayer, the king of Israel, David. 2 Samuel 21, 15 to 17, I'll read from a modern version. It says, "War broke out again between the Philistines and Israel. David and his men went down to fight. David became exhausted. Ishbanab, a warrior descended from Rapha with a spear weighing nearly 8 pounds and outfitted in brand new armor, announced that he'd killed David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to the rescue, struck the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, 'No more fighting on the front lines. Don't snuff out the lamp of Israel.'" Do you see it? There's a new generation of giant slayers that are stepping up. David had his chance. Joshua had his moment. Caleb had his moment, but now there's a generation, a new group of giant slayers who burst on the scene and they fight giants. I feel like standing in this place where there is a people of God, amen, who refuse to listen to the voice of the enemy. Do you believe that today? The voice of intimidation, that voice of ridicule, that voice of the past who says you're not worthy. You are the new generation of giant slayers. Step up and fight the giant, and God will give you the victory. Give a high five to somebody. Say, "I'm a generation of giant slayers." There is a new generation of giant slayers who are boldly declaring, "Not today, devil, not tomorrow, and not next week." Are there any is there a new generation of giant slayers that are willing to say with me, "You come at me with shield and sword, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. God's on my side. God is with me." You and I are a generation of giant slayers. Young people, I know you fight different battles than I had too at your age. But it's time you look at those difficult moments and you go at it in Jesus' name. I know our young kids, I know they have to face things that maybe the parents didn't. But you've got this. Why don't you just look at one of these kids, one of these young people, one of these hyphen age, one of these colleges. Why don't you just look at somebody and say, "You got this." No. Look at them and let them know you've got this. Mom and dads, keep fighting for those kids. Because if you don't put up a spiritual fight, hear me clearly today, if you don't put up a spiritual fight, what got past you is coming at your family with momentum. But I think there's some giant slayers that are willing to say, "You got to get past me before you get to... You got to fight me before you get to them." I'm telling us today, in this room, there's giant slayers. In this room, there's people that say, "I win because God's on my side." And I understand that we have some here today from a different walk of life. We've got people here today from different upbringings. Different ups, different downs, different stories, different backgrounds, different paths. Some that were born in the 40s and 50s, they had to fight their spiritual giants as well. And believe you me, some had to come home from wars without the aid of medical attention or medical breakthroughs. I want to say, keep fighting those giants. You see, here's what I find interesting. Goliath of Gath that David killed, he had weapons made of brass. But yet these new giants that we find in 2 Samuel chapter 21, they came on the scene and they're fighting with different types of weaponry. It appears to look the same, but theirs was made of bronze. Now that may not mean much to some, but this just proves the point that our battles are going to look maybe a little different, but every group of person, every generation has their own giants they have to conquer. Amen. This proves that everyone will fight something that seems bigger than themselves. That what you're fighting and dealing with and attempting to overcome may not be what I had to fight and deal with. Today, there's generations that are out there having to deal with drugs that was never introduced at my time. They've got internet at their fingertips. I had dial-up when we had it. When we got it, and we hoped it came in. Anybody know what dial-up internet is? Yeah. Life was stunk. It was terrible. Some had Juno as their Juno.com. Anybody know that email address? No? AOL? You've got mail. I'm telling us. There's things that one generation had to fight that another one didn't. But nonetheless, they are something that is bigger than themselves. It feels overwhelming. It feels like it can't be conquered. But I'm telling you today, there is a generation of giant slayers in this day, in this house, that's going to stand up and say, no matter what, no matter where, no matter when, God's on my side and I'm going after it. You see, believe it or not, that in this sanctuary, in this very place, there are people that are fighting things and dealing with things. The smile on the face is just a facade. But deep down, there's memories, there's thoughts, there's intimidating things. That it's crying out, give me a man, give me a woman, give me a formidable foe. And there you and I sit sometimes. Look nice, dress nice, hopefully smell nice. But yet at the same time, every last one of us always, always seem to be up against something that is greater than ourselves. Amen. But I'm going to tell you today, keep fighting. Keep stepping up. Keep serving. Keep going. 2 Samuel 21:15, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. One translation says that David became exhausted. And then it begins to list the different ones, the different giants that started bragging about. They wanted bragging rights for taking out David, the giant killer. There was, the Bible says it, about Hushite who killed Saph. And then there's another one, you know, who has a spear the size of a weaver's beam. There's another one that, a battle even, that's fought in a town called Gob. Isn't that a crazy name? I read the Bible and some days I just think, man, that's the weirdest thing. But it appears that these particular giants are possibly related. But yet they're not all the same. A number of the giants that David and his men had to face was one, Ishbanab, Saph, verse 18, Lammy, verse 19, unnamed giant with six toes and six fingers. But they were all sons of the giant. They were possibly, some even say, the brother of Goliath. Some have even said that that's why David initially picked out five smooth stones, because he wasn't just coming after Goliath, he was going after his kinfolk just as well. Whether that's true, I don't know. You see, those giants projected fear and intimidation on all those who were around them. They had weaponry that fit them but was too heavy for the average-sized warrior. Folks, I understand that there is something that each of us are facing at this very moment. And again, every battle, every giant might look different, but nonetheless, it seems like it's one more obstacle, one more fight, one more hurdle, one more test of faith. But today, hear me clearly today, we're going to walk out with our faith renewed and walk out knowing we are covered by the Most High God. Let me quickly walk us through these four giants. I know we got cake to eat. Thank you for Brother James, Sister Casey for serving. If not, we wouldn't have cake. But look at these battles. These battles these giant slayers have to deal with. There's this giant named Ishbanab. And the Bible says that he carries a spear that weighs 7.5 pounds, just the head of it. Then you see the enemy, the giant, might want to do just this, because watch what his name means. Ishbanab means this. To take captive. And the enemy of our soul, your giant, whatever your giant might be, it might want to paralyze you to where you feel overwhelmed, can't breathe. That's Ishbanab. But look what Abishai, the son of Zariah, the giant slayer, means. It means gift of or from my father. It also symbolizes divine strength and favor. Here's what that means for you and I today. Your heavenly father is going to give you a divine impartation of strength and favor. You might be dealing with something that's paralyzing your faith, but God, your heavenly Father, is going to give you a divine impartation of strength and favor. Clap your hands and say amen. And I believe with certainty today that the favor of God is in this place. And if you feel overwhelmed, overtaken, there's no way out. Hear me clearly again today. God is going to give you and I favor. You are a generation of giant slayers. It's not just for those in the Bible, but whatever obstacle is before you that is greater than you, hear me today, you can take it in the name of the Lord. There's that giant named Saph. His name means to denote the edge of things. It's a name that is to describe a violent storm. He's a larger than life, a larger than life type of storm. It comes in and tries to wear you down. Storms, as we are witnessing even today, can be absolutely devastating, life-changing for certain. But you want to know what this new generation of giant slayers, Zibekai, means? Watch this. It means God intervenes. So what this teaches us, watch this, that when your life is seemingly spinning out of control, God is right there to intervene. When you're facing something that seems larger than life and you are absolutely devastated, God intervenes. I'm telling you today that God is a very present help in time of trouble. Then there's another one. I don't know if he goes by the name Junior or not, but he's Goliath from Gath. Goliath Jr., which means to uncover, expose, or remove. He has a spear that had just the shaft as thick of a bar on a weaver's loom. He fought this battle at Gob. Goliath fought Elhanan at Gob. Again, Goliath means to uncover, to expose, or remove. Here's what that does to you and I, what this Bible teaches you and I, and the giants that we might all be facing. It will make you feel vulnerable and without hope. Now, if we were to be honest in this very place, I think every one of us would at one point in time say, I've been vulnerable. I have felt like there's no hope. I felt like there's no way out. But guess who took the invitation to fight Goliath? His name is Elhanan. And what this teaches us, what this man teaches us, what his name teaches us is this: God has been gracious. This battle shows us that when we feel hopeless, vulnerable, exposed, it's God's grace that will lean in and cover you. God's grace. God is gracious today. See, Paul said, Lord, take away this infirmity. 2 Corinthians 12:17. He's saying, Lord, take this thing away. Take this giant away. Take this thing that's bothering me away. And here's what God said, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for thee. Grace doesn't just mean unmerited favor or undeserved favor. It does. It means that. But there's more to that word. And the Apostle Paul is attempting to paint a word picture for you and I today. Because grace, yes, it means unmerited favor, undeserved favor. But it also means an extension towards favor by leaning in. I rise today to tell each and every one of us that if you're going through some stuff, you can trust God with your weakness and your shortcomings. You can trust God with the pressures that are up against you. In life and circumstance, if it's laid you down on your face and your knees, hear me today, that's when God's grace leans in and he covers you. Hear me today, you generation of giant slayers. You got to walk out of here. No, God is covering me no matter what. I want to encourage us today that you're going to defeat what has been lording over you all by the grace of an almighty God. Amen. And lastly, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 21. There is this. It's the fourth giant that was put in the text on purpose. And I am a firm believer that God never wastes real estate in his word. He names the others, but for whatever reason, we do not get the name of this last giant. All it says is that he's an unnamed giant. We know, according to details, that it states he loves to fight. He's known to have 6 fingers on both hands and 6 toes on each foot. He defied the people of God. So it's Jonathan, the son of David's brother Shammah, who rose up as a giant slayer and took care of business. You see, it's that unnamed giant to whom Jonathan had slain. And since it's unnamed in Scripture, we can take a little bit of liberty maybe and say that whatever named giant that you're facing, that isn't quite like everything else you've been through, it will come subject to the name of Jesus Christ. It will. It's unnamed in Scripture for a reason. It's because some things just aren't the same. Some battles are far from being the same. Oh, I mean, it's got 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. It's a little different. I hope there's not somebody out here like that. That'd be pretty weird. Not weird. I'm sorry. But it'd be different. I ain't ever seen nothing like that. I used to drive a church bus and I'd pick up kids and there's this little girl and she waved at you and gave you a high five, but really it was high 6. I was like, oh, what was that little thing? But you see, in Scripture, according to what we define as the norms, humanity defines as the norms. There's like one in 1,300, I think it is, or 13, that actually is born like this. One out of every 1,300 babies, just possibly there's one. It's like this. But you see, there are those unnamed things, if the musicians could come. There are those unnamed things, unnamed giants, that isn't quite like everything else. We've never seen it like this before. We've never experienced a battle like this. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is this making sense? There is this giant slayer, this new generation of giant slayers. And he teaches us a principle that no matter how unnatural or unrealistic your situation might be, this battle teaches us this principle. Because Jonathan's name means this: God has given or is transforming one thing or situation into another. I feel the Lord in this place right now. Oh, come on, somebody. Why don't we just lift our hands right now? You see, the principle that this last unnamed giant teaches us is that you don't know how to describe what you've been through. There's no describing it. It's just unnatural, and it doesn't make sense. Why do I gotta deal with this? Why do I have to face this loss? I can't describe the pain. Doesn't make sense. And yet, Jonathan, the name, teaches us this principle that God will turn it around, that God will transform you from one place to another. And I feel like in this place, it's a transforming place right now, that God is at work right now in whatever situation you're facing, whatever unnamed giant, whatever thing is stepping in front of you that does not make sense. That's a sign that says, oh, God will turn it around. Would you right now, if it's appropriate, grab the hand of the person next to you if it feels comfortable enough to do so? And would you maybe step out from where you are? Maybe you have to ask them, you want God to turn this around or not? You want God to turn this situation around? I don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't know if I can face something like this. It's okay. It's unnamed on purpose. Because in the New Testament, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.